Well, I avoided my first disaster today.
Please enlighten us.
Phone died. I don't know if I was... It was... Had something left on or something, but I thought I had enough. New phone, don't have the number yet. So just going based on the color, white is good. Yellow, yeah, you might need to deal with this soon. Red, obviously, can't risk
that. Like for the battery?
Yes.
Okay.
So the phone goes, and I wake up just, you know, changing jobs. New responsibility, new wake-up time.
Yes, sir. Little more unsettled. I'm sure this is a different wake-up time than you're used to.
A little unsettled, I guess, during the night still. So you're not, like, completely comfortable.
I've been doing this for a year, and I wake up multiple times. And I look at my phone.
You still wake up multiple times?
Oh, it's 2:12. Oh, it's 3:45. And I'm doing the math. I'm like, well, yeah, okay.
So that wake up, probably the second or third of the night, happens in the 5 minutes between the two alarms I have staggered.
Okay.
So, obviously, you're waking up in a panic, although you know you're good. But you're more worried about what could have been.
What if?
What could have happened. So we avoid the disaster. But this goes to a larger thing. And it, like, it convinces me that, like, there are supernatural forces at play. Like, what told me to wake up within that 5 minutes?
Every single day, Justin, I wake up before my... I don't think I've heard my alarm in months. Within 2 minute range, I wake up and I look at my
phone.
That's
crazy.
It's so strange. It's because your body's programmed. You're not even there yet.
So that, I agree with the like body clock programming. Mm-hmm. And that probably helped me in this regard. But there are other instances where the world just reminds you of something.
This is very spiritual and spooky.
Do you not believe this?
Yeah, I think so.
We actually had this conversation at Thanksgiving. Mm. I was in the summer on the way to a wedding. Running errands in the morning, doing all this stuff. I don't know, haircut, whatever. Doing work. I don't know exactly what I was doing. But a lot of movement. So car packed hours before. On the road. On the QEW. Mm-hmm. And then I just thought to myself, do I have my shoes?
You didn't have
your
shoes.
And then I'm thinking about it more. I'm like, I don't know if I have my shoes. So I'm like, I gotta check. Pull over. No
Weird.
Shoes.
Like, why would that come to your brain?
What told me... randomly, hours after I'd already did the packing.
Supernatural forces.
Another one.
Do you believe in like mediums and stuff? Like psychics?
No.
Maybe you have like a little bit of that medium gene or something.
Maybe. But I don't think it's a me thing only. So as a Thanksgiving, I don't know how this happened, but my dad wrangled up a bunch of hazelnuts.
What?
Hazelnuts.
Where did he get those? Was he foraging?
I think he was foraging. And so he finished foraging, brought hazelnuts home and had this great idea, roast hazelnuts.
Nice.
And then something told him in his head that these specific hazelnuts, the ones found in his backyard, are actually toxic if roasted and served.
Oh my God.
So he thought
Chris Cuthbert.
In his head, something told him that these hazelnuts might not be appropriate to eat. What could that possibly... So he could have poisoned his entire family.
Oh my God, imagine. Imagine.
The headline on that.
Poisons his whole
The headline family. Would have been unbelievable.
Like, but what sorry, is it poison, him? Like toxic, like...
Yeah, toxic.
See, not, like death?
I don't know.
Or like you'd be at the hospital, like in the ICU?
We'd probably all just be... I don't know. If,
like
don't
food
know.
Poisoning? I need to know the spectrum of...
Well, we'll figure it
now
out.
Now I'm worried about hazelnuts.
Specific hazel. But what would have told you other than like the...
You're right, there's
some
something
higher
there.
Power is just like, those hazelnuts
Psst,
are toxic.
Don't eat those.
I don't know.
That's really
and
spooky.
And what came down and just said to me, shoes.
And what told you to wake up this morning? Well, that's your
body.
That's
probably the body clock. I think that
but
one,
the other
that
two
one
are,
has more of an explanation. But
the other
those
two are a little freaky.
Telling you. I'm going to rely on the higher powers to get me up every day.
I don't think you should. Don't chance that, please.
Here.
I'd like you to attend work every morning. Because we have lots of fun things to talk about today.
That might be my biggest fear right now. Is you having the same problem. You not getting up. You not coming in and me having
that hasn't happened to me yet in the year of doing this. But there was one time where I got up. We used to, you know, we were doing the show from home. And you'd push your wake-up time because you're just literally getting up and going to your kitchen table and mm-hmm. turning on Zoom in a 10-minute range before work starts in your pajamas. And there was one day where the show was about to start and we would connect to Josh at the board and my at-home setup was not working. And so I had to sprint into the office. And it was like my fastest mile time since college. And I remember, like, I don't even know. I was wearing sweatpants backwards. Like, I ran in here disheveled and I made it within, I don't know, 8 minutes. But that doesn't count because I was awake, but I still pushed the time of mm-hmm. chance to the limit.
It's nice that we have that backup. I mean, obviously it worked against you there, but if one of us did not get up and there were phone calls scrambling, at least you'd be able to maybe go downstairs to a setup and join via Zoom. The power of technology.
Unlike the time that there was no Rogers communication and we couldn't get a hold of
I don't believe you're
JD
allowed to talk
Bunkus.
About that.
It's a thing that happened.
Couldn't get a hold of that. I mean, that's worthy excuse, though.
I bet there's people nothing listening that have one of those little mystical moments. Please text us, 590-590. We'll sprinkle those in throughout the show.
When has the higher power saved you?
It's definitely happened to everybody.
I 100%.
You know what? There was a full moon last night.
You said
and it was
that.
Stunning.
I didn't get a good
there
look
was something
at it.
in the waves.
Do you believe in like moon spirits, all that
I
stuff?
I don't really know that. Most girls are like, what's your rising?
What?
What's your rising sign?
What does that mean?
Like, what's your horoscope, Justin? What are you, by the way? What's your birthday?
Horoscope?
What's your birthday? I don't know that.
I'm a Leo. August.
Oh. See, I don't know what that means.
A horoscope is now a rising
sign? Well, you have different moons, apparently. See, I don't really know what I'm talking about.
You have a little idea of what's going
on. Because, like, the funny saying is, like, what's your moon? What's your rising? I don't get it. But anyway, I know I'm a Cancer and you're a Leo, so who knows if the show works?
What's my rising?
I think I have to know your birth date and the time and where you were born and, you know, what hour, anyway, what hospital.
Maybe we'll do that on our birthdays. We'll do some...
the weight you were born at.
You need all that stuff?
No. Were you a chunky baby?
I was a hairy baby.
Ew, that's gross.
Don't say ew, that's not gross.
I think I was chunky. My poor mother. Anyway, I'm glad you made it in today because it's the start of the NHL regular season.
Kind of.
Right around the corner. We're setting it
up,
at least.
We got a couple games over the weekend.
It counts.
I don't even know. It does count tonight. It counts with some more important teams than we saw over the weekend in mm-hmm. Prague. I don't even know who won. I know Nashville won the first game. I don't know if San Jose evened it up, but whatever. The NHL starts in earnest tonight.
That's right. We got two hockey games. You know what? Wake and rake. You better send in hockey because I'm sick of baseball. Wake and rakes.
Yeah. We are. We're getting into our wheelhouse a little bit.
We're excited.
More here.
We've already picked our bets this morning. We were really excited to talk about it. Tampa and the Rangers play first, and then Vegas and the Kings play. Start of the NHL regular season. We also have the MLB divisional round starting tonight. Phillies, Braves, Mariners, you know them, Astros, mm-hmm. Cleveland, Yankees, Padres, Dodgers. Pretty good setups. A big day in sports, actually.
Yeah, full day of baseball. It's like it doesn't get much better than like
when, big couch potato day.
This is it with every sport, though. The start of the playoffs where you have as many games as possible. And we saw it over the weekend, four games. It's mm-hmm. great. But now we get even the better teams involved. Sorry, Blue Jays fans. The best teams involved. And it's the same thing with the NHL. That first round where you get four games a mm-hmm. night is unbelievable. Same in, you know, wild card weekend. This is generally the most enjoyable part of the playoffs is early on when it's just like overload. And we get that with baseball. But we also get some hockey games that we're going to focus on as well.
Toronto Maple Leafs yesterday solidified their opening night roster. Everybody, for the first time in like franchise history, cleared waivers. Nobody poached anybody from the Toronto Maple Leafs. Shocking news for all of you listening. It never happens. Everybody clears waivers.
But there's a little caveat there because if they had done what they maybe should have done, they probably would have lost some of the waivers.
So that's a major conversation point is Nick Robertson will be starting the season on the Marlies. Now, before everybody freaks out, Justin, explain this to me like I'm five.
Why don't you explain this to me like I'm five?
Okay, so you want to know why just why specifically Nick Robertson's going to start the season in the American
Open. Not only me, a lot of people online are very confused, and I'd like you to set the record straight what this means and why this happened. Because if you're just reading the Twitter list of people get sent down to the Marlies, you're panicking.
Okay, the short reason is that he's waiver eligible. So we just saw them go through the process where they put a couple players who they didn't really care about all that much. Adam Gaudet, Victor Mete.
Kyle Clifford,
Wayne Simmons.
Wayne Simmons was a tough one.
So you're okay. That's a calculated gamble. Or basically you're just, you know, you don't really, doesn't really matter. If you lose them, you lose them. You don't want to lose Nick Robertson, but you can't lose Nick Robertson because he's waivers eligible. So you go straight to the American Hockey League. You have no risk of losing someone. Now, it looks like it came down to a decision between Robertson and Dennis Malgin. And it's Robertson because they didn't want to lose Dennis Malgin. Dennis Malgin, of course, is the one who I was alluding to. If he was on waivers, in all likelihood, given that the Leafs have a very long and storied history of losing players via waivers, he probably would have been picked up. And he also played really, really well in the preseason. The other reason, though, is, second reason, I guess, is that they paid Zach Aston-Reese what they paid Zach Aston-Reese.
Every remaining dollar in their account.
Basically, and this is very smart, and it's not like a novel concept, but to get him on a PTO and say, hey, see where all the money is, and we'll give you literally every dollar that we can at the end of it. And that's exactly what happened, aside from $4. Apparently, they're $4 short, which makes no sense. I don't know why Zach Aston-Reese wouldn't get that $4.
Sorry, $4?
They had $4 more to spend.
Oh.
And they didn't spend
that
$4.
What, Vancouver, are you planning on getting
Vancouver
a
landed right
latte?
On zero. Like, landed perfectly. Yeah, I guess, you know, Dubas specialty coffee. So Zach Aston-Reese gets that maximum earning, and that kind of squeezes Robertson out a little bit more. But if they had chosen Robertson, Zach Aston-Reese would have made less money, and that wouldn't have been an issue anyway. So once they made the decision, you knew Malgin was staying when they paid Zach Aston-Reese what they paid Zach Aston-Reese. But the third and most important reason is just maximizing LTIR. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned they have their opening night roster set. They do, but they don't even know who's going to be playing because John Tavares may or may not be ready.
That second part of this is that Johnny T had his second foot practice with the team, optimistic he could return Wednesday. That's tomorrow.
I personally don't think he's going to play tomorrow.
That came out of nowhere. I haven't heard his name in 2 weeks.
Why would you mess around with this? He might be feeling better, but he has got a history of this injury. You already put a minimum at 3 weeks, and we believed that would carry him through the start of the year and that he wouldn't be available. So I still don't think he would be available because of the LTIR situation. And the LTIR situation is this. You basically, in order to maximize the use of it, you have to spend as close as possible to that upper limit. And if you started John Tavares on long-term injured reserve, you wouldn't be able to maximize that loophole because you wouldn't be able to pay $7 million to anyone else. So the Nikita Kucherov example, I'm not exactly sure exactly how they did this when he was out the year and came back.
The Lightning?
The Lightning. When he was out the year and came back.
They find a way. They're a little scummy.
They're scummy, but this is how. They filled whatever he was going to get paid because they knew he wasn't going to come back. Mm-hmm. So they maximized that window, that LTIR window, by spending all the way to the cap. And when he was able to come back, he would be able to come back just because it was playoffs. If he was going to come back in the regular season, that means you'd have to clear as much as he was getting paid. However, that was not necessary. So if they had only, let's say he made $7 million, I know he makes more. Let's say it was $7 million is what he made at the time, and you only filled three, you would lose use of that $4 million. So in order for the Leafs to avoid an LTIR penalty, they couldn't put John Tavares on LTIR. And therefore, for that reason, they don't have flexibility. They might be with only 19 players on opening night because they just don't have. They know Tavares is going to be back sooner than later. They can't afford to waste that money. Whew. I don't know if that makes a lot of sense.
That was like a thesis. Do you have MLA formatting and page numbers for me?
What did you call it the other day? Not Cole's notes?
I said Sparks notes. You never heard of Sparks notes?
No.
It's the same as Cole's notes. Anyway.
The Sparks notes is that Tavares isn't going to miss a lot of time.
Got it.
And if he was going to miss a lot of time, you would fill that money. But because he's not, you can't afford to. And therefore, that reason, he starts on the roster, but may not play.
So Keefe keeping Malgin over Robertson also was a testament to Malgin making this team out of training camp. He talked about that post practice yesterday, giving praise to Malgin, who could be maybe a breakthrough candidate. Here's his clip.
Well, in Malgin's case, you know, first of all, he's a guy that's coming in here at 25 years old. He's already got 200 NHL games. He produced at a high rate, right near the top of the league in scoring, and also worked really hard away from the puck, found ways to create. No matter which game or what the competition was like, it seemed like he was still making his mark on each of the games. And that was good and competitive in our practices. So to that end, we felt, given that opportunity, obviously the fact that he's protected by the fact that he requires waivers, that works in his favor in this case. And in Nick Robertson's case, it works against him. It's just kind of the reality of it and the situation that we're in. You know, everything I just said about Malgin, Robertson did just the same. So it was frankly a tough decision because we've seen tremendous growth in Nick throughout this camp, and we're very encouraged about where his game is at and have all the confidence that he'll be back here, when needed.
So Keefe says it there, right? The rules made the decision.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately, Dennis Malgin's not like so inferior when looking at the two that it like burns you, that it hurts, that you have to make that decision. But because Robertson can pass, he's the one that has to go down. The good news for Robertson is that the emergency recall thing, that loophole, that little thing in the CBA that none of us really understand, that can kick in for Thursday night. So I think there's a chance, if Tavares isn't ready to go, that Robertson can actually play on an emergency recall basis after opening night. So I think
we might see him in a day or two.
I think he's going to get some opportunity early. But in order for both these guys, there's just not a way both of them could be there on opening night. And for that reason, it's more likely than not that they are short, which sucks, on opening night, mm-hmm. but that they should be okay moving forward. And of course, with John Tavares practicing, he's going to be back sooner than later.
Perfect explanation.
Ish.
Looks like Murray will be starting Wednesday's season opener, and then Samsonov against his former team, the Washington Capitals, at home on Thursday. That's basically the biggest news that came out of yesterday's practices.
Mm-hmm. I should actually point out, it's possible Tavares plays tomorrow. I'm just like, what we were told before.
I'd like him to play if he's 100%.
Yes, of course. They should not rush it.
I feel like sometimes they're like, okay, get in there, you're the captain of this team.
Yeah, that would be a mistake.
It would be, for sure.
And they're already acknowledging we might have to play short. I just think we already knew. We already knew that the timeline carried him here. Why rush him now? Just because you have 19 players, it's not a big deal. It just means that you might see Austin Matthews on the fourth line a few times. Like, it's not a big deal. More Matthews, always a good thing.
All right, so with the NHL starting today, we decided that this is something we've done previously for NBA, NFL, etc.
Never for the NHL, though.
Never for the NHL. Is NHL watchability rankings. Now, obviously, in the Toronto market, we'll be watching a lot of Toronto Maple Leafs hockey, but there's a lot of intrigue for other teams in this league, and we're going to do this watchability rankings draft with Danielle. Producer Danielle is going to join us now.
Mm-hmm.
And similarly to how we do our other drafts, a three-pick snake draft, I think the fact that Danielle went last means he should go first or second this time.
Which means he has the decision to take the Maple Leafs or not.
Yeah, so Danielle, welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Good morning. We're going to select three teams each, and then at the end, we're just going to select your unwatchable team. Just to have some fun.
One unwatchable each.
Danielle, we're going to make you go first, though, because last time you got to go last. And
okay, sure. I'm happy to go first.
All right.
Usually I'd like to defer, but I'll take it first. I'm not going to touch the Toronto Maple Leafs, by the way. And I'll say this about the Maple Leafs, actually, because they will go in this draft. Tons of talent. Never been a fan of the way they play hockey. Never been a fan. So I will not touch that team.
Wow.
So my first pick, I am going to go with the defending Stanley Cup champion Colorado Avalanche. And it's quite simple. From a pure entertainment standpoint, there's probably no other team that's just as fun to watch as the Avs. It's Cale Makar. Nathan MacKinnon, Mikko Rantanen, there's still Gabriel Landeskog, and this team will still be hungry and eager to defend their Stanley Cup title. The big, and they also have an interesting question mark in the middle on their second line with Kadri departing. Alex Newhook is a name that I think people should keep an eye on as well. So there's a nice balance of being a super talented team, a team that's a championship caliber team, and then also a group that has a few question marks. So I think this is a team that is constantly, for many years to come, will be a perennial team that we have in this discussion of being a really fun, watchable group.
I think from an objective standpoint, you're right. This is Colorado hockey at its highest level. They are incredibly talented, uniform, consistent, all the great things. In terms of like individual players, Cale Makar is probably next best to McDavid. Maybe Matthews is in there as well. MacKinnon at full flight is like a different sort of player.
It just got banked too. He's got a lot to
He's ready to
prove.
Go.
A lot of cash. And you like to say fat and happy though.
Yeah, I'm not, you know where I'm at with that. But are we being honest? Colorado, like, I get it, but are they the most interesting team? Are like they the team that you're dying to watch every night? Daniela, you can come in if you want.
Clearly, you picked them
first.
Again,
these are my opinions. So, but Justin,
it's Saturday night.
Cale Makar.
Saturday night. I know your job is to be in tune with what's happening with the Maple Leafs.
Yes,
but they're
course.
Both on at 7 p.m. You're watching Colorado over the Maple Leafs.
Okay, let's be honest here. Am I watching hockey? Like, let's be honest. If I'm am I watching that or am I watching college football? Like, that's just
right.
Me. Like, but nonetheless, when I look at these teams, like I said, maybe it's the cynicism of covering the Maple Leafs year over year over year and watching the group, the same group run out there. And I'm sorry, I've just had enough of watching William Nylander, for example, just kind of not to coast. I'm sorry. He coasts,
okay.
Right? We've seen growth from Austin Matthews in terms of playing a two-way game. Mitch Marner's a terrific player, but I just don't know that I find the joy of watching that hockey team the same way I would of watching a Nathan MacKinnon and a Cale Makar. When you see the unique, especially Makar, how unique he is on the back end. Like, that guy's arguably, you can make a legitimate argument coming off the Conn Smythe that he's the best player in the game. Like, you can legitimately argue that above Connor McDavid. But when you have the opportunity to watch those guys, a championship contending caliber team that plays the right way, and then they also have the element where there's some intrigue surrounding, they have this void on the second line left by Kadri. I feel like it just kind of brings is a recipe for a team that is interesting and fun to watch.
Okay. That's fair.
It's not your pick. You can't rip them.
I just want him to defend the pick.
He did.
That's a controversial first pick, in my opinion.
All right. Then you're up, buddy. Number two.
Okay. I'm going with the Maple Leafs. They're not the most watchable team. Daniele's right, but they're the team I want to watch the most because it matters the most. That said, watching the Leafs is not a chore. They have the only tandem that can compare to McDavid and Leon Draisaitl with Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner. John Tavares and William Nylander can sell tickets themselves as a very, very strong second duo, although they don't necessarily work that well together. They have a puck possession style. They have an experimental head coach. They're not exactly a defensive stalwart, so they generally play in exciting games. And they have forward units up and down that can dominate their matchups. This is a team that is very exciting to watch. They are built to be exciting to watch. And of course, everything that happens to them means more than any other team if the same thing happened to them. It is the Mecca. It's the center of the world. The drama after the game, the conversation, all of it means more. And for that reason, they are the most watchable. If we're all being honest with ourselves, we are watching more Maple Leafs hockey than any other team this year. It's partly because of our job, but partly because it matters more than anything else.
Couldn't agree more.
And you gave me the Leafs.
Yeah, that's okay, because I get third and fourth pick,
okay.
And I'm going to dominate this draft now.
I'm actually, I could guess one, but I don't know who your other one would be.
Third overall selection. With no doubt in my mind, the New York Rangers.
Wow.
I am obsessed with the kid line.
Why?
Hedel. Kako. Kako. Lafreniere. I think that they're going to take a massive step this year. I'm big on the Rangers this year. Keandre Miller could be an all-star. Adam Fox, we talked about him a lot when we did our preseason award picks. You got Kreider, Zibanejad. yesterday, Kreider was like, I have not won a Stanley Cup. That is the hole in my resume. This is the year. He's motivated. You got Panarin. Shesterkin. Are you telling me that this team isn't built to be a contender? I really think that they could make a massive run this year. Mm-hmm. New York is a fun place to play hockey.
Great atmosphere when it's going.
MSG. I've been there many times to watch the Rangers. I absolutely love that vibe.
You got a little Rangers fandom.
I like the Rangers. I mean, if you take the Leafs off the plate, then I want to watch a team on the East Coast. Time zone is important. Good jerseys, good history. New York Rangers will be my first pick and third pick in the draft.
And you'll be able to watch them tonight against the Tampa Bay Lightning. I think it's a great pick. The Rangers are very exciting. They have they have the great goaltender who's immensely entertaining on top of being a great goaltender. Great top 4D. Zibanejad and Panarin, as you mentioned, they're like really, really exciting players. And Gerard Gallant, he's kind of, he's entertaining in himself.
That's right.
He like, whatever follows him is interesting. So for that reason, I think they check off every box.
And this could have been a 1A, 1B, but Edmonton Oilers next for me.
If you left that for me, it would have been.
No way.
It would have been disastrous.
I mean, you mentioned it. Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, like their top nine is pretty solid. They have a lot of expectations on them this year. I like to watch a team that needs something to prove. They're certainly in that. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you don't want to tune in to watch those two alone play. Do I have to explain the Edmonton Oilers to you?
No, you don't.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
You don't because it's not 1A, 1B, but it's the Leafs and Oilers in a class alone for me. The obvious reasons, McDavid, Draisaitl. Even Jack Campbell hang around.
Jack Campbell, that's a good point. Jack Campbell with his new
he's
team.
He's exciting to watch.
I'm excited for that for him.
They have one of the most balanced and diverse top six, top nines in the league. Like, they can do it all with Kane and Hyman and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins and Puljujärvi. Like, they've got a really good forward group, and they're adding Dylan Holloway to it, who might be a player as well. So,
Hyman?
Oilers. Did I mention Hyman?
I don't remember.
Either way, Hyman's in that list as well.
I mean, they're full of interesting players, exciting players. Yeah, high scoring,
though. Which makes for good games. That's exactly why the Oilers is a good pick. I will take their Alberta rivals as my fifth pick and second overall for me. I don't know how long they will last this high, but I'm very, very intrigued in the short term because based on their offseason, there's the most to like find out and to discover about this group. I really want to see how Huberto and Kadri and Uyghur fit. But the biggest thing is, like, there's a common misconception with Daryl Sutter that his brand is boring. But the Flames were far from boring last year.
And he's not
the
boring.
He's not boring. And the Kings at their peak under him were not boring at all. They were just dominant. And dominant is not boring. They're a team that attacks and goes after it and has that little bit of edge, that little bit of old school that few teams have. Daryl Sutter still imparts that in his group. So they're going to be involved in nasty games, high-scoring games. That's really
rock 'em, sock 'em.
They're one of the few teams that does it that way still. And for that reason, very, very interested in what the Flames do this year. Daniele, picks 2 and 3.
I love those picks. Yes, I will go with my second selection, the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, yeah. I'm a big Penguins lover. I've always loved the Pens. We'll keep it simple. Sidney Crosby, we don't know how many years he has left. I know he talked about it. He's got at least until the end of this contract is up and then reassess and evaluate. I think it's like 3 more years or 2 more years left on that deal. He's still one of the best players in hockey. It's incredible the longevity he's achieved. And then in addition to that, this offseason, there was talk that they were not going to have the band back together. There was no Malkin. There was supposed to be no Letang. Instead, here they are again. And can they, at some point in this current iteration of the Pittsburgh Penguins, leading up to when Crosby's contract is up, is there another window for them to possibly compete? And I find that they're a fascinating hockey team. I have the utmost respect for Sidney Crosby in particular. I feel like there's, even as great as some of these current superstars are, some people don't play hockey like Sidney Crosby can play hockey, even at this stage in his career. So for me, it's a very simple one. And I like the fact that they have their core group back together again. So I'm going with the Pens for my second selection.
Yeah, I think that anytime you get to watch Crosby, even if he's in the, you know, aging part of his career, he's still a dominant player. I want to see as much Pittsburgh Penguins hockey because there'll be a time where we don't see that. Mm-hmm. And that's sad. And he still has the ability to impact this game at such a great level. I think even so much that we forget sometimes that Sidney Crosby is still Sidney Crosby. So that's a great pick. And I'm glad you took that as early as you did. All right, you get seventh.
Yeah, and as I was thinking about it yesterday, like I equate it to sort of to Tom Brady in mm-hmm. the sense that every week, regardless of what Tom is doing or what stage he is right now in his career and the level of productivity, it's still Tom Brady. It's the GOAT. And Sidney Crosby is one of the best hockey players of all time. So you get an opportunity to watch this guy play, you got to take advantage of it, right? It's the same with Alexander Ovechkin and the goal-scoring chase. But I feel, yes, Crosby and the Brady effect, so to speak, it has an allure for me. So I like that. My last selection, I'm going with the Tampa Bay Lightning. Everybody's favorite heel in this city nowadays. Tampa's probably, I think, the most interesting team possibly coming into this. They play tonight, obviously, in the opener against the Rangers. Yeah, against your Rangers. three straight trips to the Stanley Cup final. Mm-hmm. Lots of questions. How much fatigue has accumulated over the past 3 years? Can they still be a contender? But look at the roster, the amount of talent. Stamkos, Point, Kucherov, Vasilevsky, Victor Hedman, who was the best defenseman in the world until Cale Makar came around and dethroned him from that perch. I don't know. To me, I think they're a fascinating group. John Cooper is a great coach, and it's always fun. They've done it year over year now for the last few seasons, retooling, reloading. Can they do it again this year? That, to me, is why I find them really fascinating and fun to watch.
Anytime you get to see Andre Vasilevsky as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't deny that he's one of the best goaltenders we've ever seen.
Definitely. He's one of the best athletes in the NHL. Like, he is unbelievable. He does things that others can't dream of doing. To be that big and to be able to move the way he does. He's, again, worth the price of admission alone. They're like Calgary in that they've still got some old school. Like, there's another misconception there is like, oh, they're all finesse with the Tampa Bay Lightning. They're the team that, like, reimagined what a good power play would look like. Yeah, but they're also mean and dirty and nasty, and they play in tough games as well. Mm-hmm. They would have been my next pick, so you cut my grass a little bit there, didn't you?
The antithesis to the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Mm.
And what's not interesting about that?
Well, I'm not saying it's not interesting. I'm just telling you how I feel. I feel like, again, another team that plays hockey the right way.
I 100% agree with you. Now I got to go in a different direction, though. And I will take another foil of the Toronto Maple Leafs. I'm going to take the Ottawa Senators.
Ah, that was my next one.
We're all cutting each other's grass
here.
That's
all right.
Again, I don't know how long this is going to last. I could be actively avoiding the Senators by November. But this is one of the most fascinating teams based on their offseason.
Arguably the best offseason in hockey.
And it's not because they just like complete overhaul. And a lot, like they have a lot of new players, a lot of key new players. Alex DeBrincat and Claude Giroux, like what team added that sort of firepower, even though Claude Giroux might be a little bit past it. But this team, either way, if it works or doesn't work, is going to be interesting early on. They are going to score a ton of goals. They've got one of the best young groups of forwards in the league. They're all getting paid. I don't know if they're all fat and happy yet. They're too young to be fat and happy. But this group is definitely worth keeping an eye on early. I'm hoping that they're competitive. I'm hoping that they can make the Battle of Ontario very, very interesting. Our buddy Kipper reported that that Wayne Simmonds might be an option for the Senators, which would add another tiny layer. I don't know if it's the most important layer, but a layer nonetheless. I'm hoping Ottawa gets to the point where they can push the Toronto Maple Leafs. I'm hoping this rivalry is again a thing. And even with their young players, Jake Sanderson on the back end, and all these, there's a lot of different chapters to this story. And for that reason, the Ottawa Senators have piqued my interest early.
I'm left with some scraps here, I'll be honest. This is low down my remaining list of teams, but nonetheless, it's in my remaining list of teams. Might surprise you, but the Anaheim Ducks.
What?
Yeah, I know it's random.
What?
I know. You know what? I'll tell you who it was between here. I wanted to pick a West Coast team.
Help me out here.
It was between the Ducks and the Kings. And I've been big on the Kings kind of having a little bit of a birth young talent up and coming. But if I look at the Ducks, Trevor Zegras, Henrik, Mason McTavish.
Did you just drop Adam Henrik on me?
Yeah, I did. Mason McTavish, though.
Okay, I can get behind that.
I should have said him.
Jamie Drysdale, I can get behind.
They got Klingberg in the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
Max Comtois.
Prime trade candidate, rather.
Canadian Max Comtois.
Yeah.
Let me just say, I want to watch Trevor Zegras. Mason McTavish lit it up for Team Canada.
Why don't you take out Ducks
Canada.
And just put Trevor Zegras?
They're part of that's it, unfortunately. We're looking at watchability. He's a walking highlight reel.
Okay.
Mason McTavish, though, this guy lit it up for Canada. The fact that he's making a roster right out and has an impact role on a team that kind of sucks, yeah. I don't know. They could be fun to watch.
I think they will be fun.
This was tough because I had Vegas written down, but I'm like,
I thought you were going to go Vegas.
I kind of hate Vegas, though.
Vegas
is
the hate watch team.
That's it. Like, I do want to watch a team that I hate. I want to watch a team that is like fun to root for and like lower expectations because they could impress. I mean, Vegas has Kessel and Eichel and Mark Stone, but I feel like I've had these expectations for Vegas every year, and I'm like, ugh, like they also treat their players like trash. Like their whole structure.
I like
their
to
team
watch
sucks.
The root against them now.
So we have,
and I used to like Vegas.
Okay, so we have different reasons why we want to watch teams.
Yeah. I like it. I think you justified it.
Whatever.
Well, my only
I
pushback
said,
is like
down my list.
I don't know. Maybe the Senators are non-competitive too, so maybe that's not.
So
a good
I
pick.
Had the Senators. I had the Penguins and the Lightning and. I missed on some opportunities, so low down my list, and I'm going to put it in there.
The only one we didn't touch on, which I think deserves some attention, is the Florida Panthers. Again,
that's true.
Am I putting on the Panthers over, say, the Lightning? Probably not.
We picked too many teams from that division.
Yeah, maybe so. But this is a team that led the NHL in scoring last year. Just added Matthew Tkachuk. Mm-hmm. And we left them off the list. But maybe it is sunrise. It is the Florida Panthers. Like, when have we ever been interested in them
exactly.
prior to last season? The only other one was the Minnesota Wild.
I thought about that, but then I said, meh.
They check off the boxes, but there's still the Minnesota Wild, if that makes sense.
Like, obviously, they have the stud.
Kirill Kaprizov is one of the single most dynamic
players in the
NHL. It's the
same as Zegras. So it's like, who do you want to watch?
Yeah, I can... I see your argument.
Okay, so we're also going to do unwatchable teams. Do I go first in the snake draft or do I go last in the snake draft now? I don't like going last. Let's get Daniele back in the fold.
Okay.
Okay, yeah.
You like going last, you said?
Yeah, whatever. Okay. I have a list of four, so one of them will be on there.
I'll go last, you go second.
Okay.
Okay, I appreciate that. this one was trickier in terms of identifying unwatchable team.
Right.
There were a couple I had.
I know.
I mean, the one that stood out the most, at least to me, it's the Coyotes, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. They're playing in a makeshift barn at Arizona State University.
But that's one of the reasons I want to watch them, Dean.
That's why they're not my number one. I want to see the arena.
Yeah.
Josh was saying, now, hold on. The novelty effect of that is what? It's going to wear off after you watch for 5 minutes?
But it's worth one game.
Yeah, that's true.
And there are a couple teams that I don't want to watch even.
Zero
okay, that's
of
fair.
The games.
That's fair. That's fair. The other team, I mean, I won't.
No.
Okay, I won't divulge
yeah,
it. But
one.
No, Arizona is my team, 100%. Again, that the fact that they're playing in what the 6,500 seat arena. Maybe you're going to want to tune in and watch mm-hmm. one game, but beyond that, I mean, this team
they're
is
tire fire.
Oh Jesus! Jacob Chikrin's the most interesting part of this team, and it's all about if he's going to get traded or not.
That's
aside
true.
From that, they're headed for another lottery, and they've already kind of stocked up, and they're looking for more draft picks. So, it's pretty much Chikrin being the point of curiosity, and beyond that. Not much else to look forward to with the Coyotes. So that's why I tabbed them as my unwatchable team.
I had no doubt that would be up there in our selections. But I do not want to watch one single minute of San Jose Sharks hockey.
I can't believe that. Yeah. That was my pick.
I could tell you that there is zero
wow.
intrigue for me from that team at all.
There,
other
it,
than
yeah.
the fact that they have these sexy new jerseys.
They are nice.
But I can look at that on Instagram. I don't want to tune in to see a second of San Jose Sharks hockey.
I can't believe you had that pick.
Hell yeah. Awful. Because I knew that you were probably going to go Blackhawks.
No, I was going San Jose.
Well, I thought that someone would go Blackhawks. So I went off the board. Sharks are just a disaster. Like, just boring. I don't care about
no,
San Jose
they're,
Sharks.
No, they're completely unremarkable.
Exactly. That's how you put it. Unremarkable. What are we doing?
There's nothing to get excited
Snooze
about.
Fest.
They're on like a slow decline rather than like anything that really matters. That leaves me in a little decision now. So I'm down to three teams then. Seattle?
Now,
it's probably not Seattle because there's a chance they're good, right? There's a chance they're
good.
There's a chance they're good. If Philip Grubauer rebounds, they can be better.
I mean, they're Shane Wright.
One of the few teams that was able to add, they're going to have two new rookies
Maddie
in the
Beniers.
Lineup. Maddie Beniers and Shane Wright.
You're telling me you don't want to watch those two guys?
They can be better. They could be actually competitive. So they can't be the pick, I don't think. Chicago.
They have Kane and Taves.
Exactly. I mean,
where are they going to go?
If there's a choice, I'm watching Patrick Kane over, you know, like any other team that doesn't matter. Probably, right? Mm-hmm. And what happens this season with him does matter. Does he want to leave? Does he want to join New York Rangers?
I found a way to justify watching that too.
So I got to go with Philly then.
That was my next one. Philly.
And Philly could
other
be a bad
gritty.
Choice.
Other than gritty.
I might be over gritty. Philly could be a bad choice because Torts is like highly combustible.
Yeah, he'll make something happen.
He could go off at any time. And I guarantee I will be watching more clips of Philly than some of these other teams because of that reason. But Philly is just... Philly's unremarkable. Philly's San Jose East, but more dysfunctional. Like, they are a mess. And for that reason, they're going to be somewhat interesting. But to actually watch their hockey games,
no,
I have no interest. So I'll go with Philly.
All right. That was pretty great. I'll run through it again. Daniele started off our draft going Avs. He also picked Penguins and Lightning.
That's a good trio.
Justin goes Leafs, Flames, Senators, and I go Rangers, Oilers, Ducks.
All Canadian teams for me.
And unwatchables, Ailish, Sharks, JC, Coyotes, Daniele, Flyers.
No, I'm Flyers. He's...
Oh, yeah, I got the backwards. My bad. That's good. We will never speak about the Flyers, the Coyotes, or the Sharks on this show unless they play the Maple Leafs. Pretty great stuff. You can always text in 590-590. Where are these teams ranked for you? What's your most watchable team? Who do you not want to tune into? Unless your life depended on it. We're going to have Frank Saravelli on at 7. Lots to talk about with the roster selections. Where our guy Wayne Simmonds might land up. We're also going to have a preseason roundtable with Brent Gunning from Leafs Nation on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. And then we're going to finish up the day with Dan Schulman. Let's put the Pretty Little Blue Jays bow on this season. But next, we're going to do the A-List on the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
It's the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Justin and A-List. The NHL season begins tonight, but unfortunately, we have to take a step back to the weekend in the A-List.
Now, it's time for the A-List.
Bing bong!
Bing bong!
Bing bong!
What's up, baby?
Well, hopefully this is the last time we talk about the Seattle Mariners and the Toronto Blue Jays for a while until we talk to Dan Schulman, and that's it. Then we got to listen to Ross Atkins later. Then Ross Atkins... And then that's it, okay?
Done.
So the Mariners beat the Blue Jays when their win probability was 0.9% at one chance. Didn't matter. Found a way. They had a viewing party in Seattle at T-Mobile Park. And in the midst of a comeback, this one individual put a shoe on his head, okay? They zoomed in. This guy had a shoe on his head. Looks like a Birkenstock sandal. And they put him on the Jumbotron. He had a shoe just floating on his head, heading into the top of the 8th inning. Rally shoe began to become a symbol for them during this game.
Mm. I feel like I saw that at Rogers Center, too.
Rally shoe?
I saw someone with a shoe on their head.
There's no way you saw someone with a shoe on their head at Rogers Center.
I'm almost positive.
What?
Yeah.
This isn't a thing.
They might have been a Mariners fan.
So that's the thing. So it started to spread online in Mariners Twitter and such, and Mariners social media picked it up.
The text line can help me out here. I'm pretty sure I saw a shoe on someone's head watching that game.
Rally shoe guy, obviously, is a part of history at this point. They're putting it in their Mariners Hall of Fame this shoe.
Wow.
They signed it. His name is Ben the Rally. Rally is his last name. R-A-L-E-I-G-H.
His name is Rally, and he rallied the team? Okay, yeah. That's Hall of Fame worthy.
That's pretty cool. So he got to be interviewed at postseason on the field. They signed the shoe. It was his wife's Birkenstock. Luckily, they wear the same shoe size. Strange. So he wore those to the game. Everybody can look up hashtag rally shoe. You can see the whole stadium wearing rally shoes on their head. Anyway, cool. Congrats to your rally shoe, Mariners fans.
I love how your enthusiasm for the story dropped as you continued telling it. I'm pretty sure. I don't know. Was rally shoe guy in Toronto?
No, this was an away game.
He was in Seattle with the
fully
shoe.
Fully packed in Seattle.
At?
T-Mobile Park.
Just hanging out.
They had a big viewing party. Anyway, it might have sparked. We talked about.
I'm pretty sure our broadcast showed shoe guy.
We talked about things being mystical. Maybe rally shoe is a thing. That's probably going to be the Mariners thing moving forward.
The text line's helping me out.
You know how the Jays have the rally capped inside out, backwards? You know,
they got a little
everyone
shake.
Sees that. This is the thing now, the rally shoe. Well, they're about to get smoked by the Houston Astros, so we'll see if that works.
About to get booted.
Okay, the text line says they definitely saw the rally shoe at the Rogers Center. Lance
so it's
and
spread.
Stony
That's
Creek.
The power of social media. It's yep. spread, and someone else started wearing it at Rogers Center. Mm-hmm. That person shouldn't have made it out of Toronto without paying the price.
Mike from Burlington, John from EG, Lance from Stony Creek. Everybody's saying that they saw it. Damn. I missed that.
Not the original shoe, though.
No, so that's the power of social media. Over in Seattle, all the way across the continent.
Buddy. And that goes back to the spiritual aspect that we started the show with. These shoes are powerful forces because they sat on the brim of hats.
Ugh. All right. Second up in the A-list. This is funny. So, Steelers, our veteran defender, Cameron Hayward.
Mm-hmm.
Retweeted something on his timeline. I'm going to read the tweet. BS. I can't stand Tomlin. He's a fraud and a clown that's been carried by Ben his entire career.
Ooh.
However, Cam Hayward was running 30 yards downfield again to make tackles that that he shouldn't make. Shut up, Ryan Clark.
So Ryan Clark is an analyst that used to play for the Steelers?
Yes. So Cameron Hayward retweeted this on his timeline. Immediately caught flack for this. He responds by saying the following: disregard my last tweet. That was a butt retweet. Dumb, dumb Cam. So he's blaming his retweet of this very specific tweet that ripping on his coach, praising him.
Notice how butt retweets and butt likes are always things,
it's never something
things
good,
you shouldn't be.
It's never like spread joy and happiness. Happy Thanksgiving. What a beautiful time to be alive. It's ripping on your
coach. He was looking for some affirmation online.
He found it out
what people are saying about him and people are saying about
Tomlin.
Was it
his burner account?
And he was, maybe. Even when it might have been a mistake, you were still looking at that content, and that content supports your likely feelings. And that's bad news.
That's terrible news.
Mike Tomlin's been there forever, never had a losing season. It's about to happen this year. I picked him as my coach of the year because you know, he doesn't have losing seasons, right? Well, he's going to have a losing season. And I don't know if that's, you know, that's the end. But the Steelers have their way where you get a lot of leash. Tomlin's been there forever.
Mm-hmm.
But if everyone's starting to hate Mike Tomlin based on this butt retweet, that might be the evidence all the evidence we need.
What percent
could be the end of an era in Pittsburgh.
That was a butt
retweet. It was
retweet.
The butt tweet. That started the snowballing effect. I think it probably was a butt retweet, but he actually supports the tweet.
Mm. Yeah, so it was up on his phone. He put his phone in his back pocket.
Yeah, someone sent it to him because they were talking
somebody
about
sent
Tomlin.
It to
he's
him.
Like, oh, this is exactly
yes.
what.
Yes, he looked at it in his DM and was like, yeah, I love that. Forgot to lock the screen. Maybe he's got the new iPhone.
Thumb slipped.
It's no longer thumb.
No, it's a butt.
It's your face. ID.
No, I mean, like, actually retweeting it was his thumb rather than his butt, but the butt is funnier.
Tough look.
For our narrative.
Sure, that's going to be awkward in the dressing room. Maybe that changes your wake and rake thoughts moving forward. Hey, by the way, send that in 590-590. As we mentioned, next round of the MLB playoffs begin tonight. We got four games, including the shoe on the head Mariners. We got two games NHL opening night, Tampa, Rangers, Vegas, Kings. Two of our selected must-watch teams on that list.
Mm-hmm. Playing each other.
Playing each other. So,
I think we might be watching
that game tonight. And then MLB starts at 1. You got a full day of divisional rounds today in the MLB.
Good sports day.
It's a great sports day. You can just start at 1 o'clock and have a nice couch day. We're going to have Frank Saravalli after the break. Let's see what his must-watch, least-watch teams could be. And bounce around a few regular season questions that still may be remaining. That's next on the Fan Morning Show. Justin and Naylor, Sportsnet 590 The Fan.